time for A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm your host, Joanne Rideout. I'm here in the studio, as I am every month, with Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Hi to both of you.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being here. Every month we get together and talk about issues relating to seniors. And this month we're going to talk about the topic of fall prevention, which is kind of ironic because it's autumn. At any rate, this is a serious issue for seniors because the risk of falling as you get older increases, and that can be a real health problem. So we have both sides of the Columbia River covered here. Michelle Lewis represents Oregon, Northwest Senior and Disability Services, and on the Washington side of the river, Doug represents the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. So we're going to be talking about resources all around our listening area for people who might need help with this issue. But first, Michelle, let's start. Why is falling an issue?
Well, falls can certainly be a life-changing event. Quite often, it'll lead to injuries that you can lose your independence with. So it's important to remember it is a leading reason why people lose their independence is a fall. And the secondary things that can happen after the falls, the healing and the infections and things that can happen as a result of a fall can be deadly in the end. So we certainly want people to pay attention to that and avoid them at all costs.
Doug, you had a really kind of, when we were talking before the show, the three of us, you had a really startling statistic. Can you share that?
There's a couple of them. One is that every 11 seconds, an older adult ends up in the ER as a result of a fall. And of that, about one-third of them end up with some sort of extended injury from that, broken bones or whatnot. And they say that one in three of our population of people 65 and older will experience that fall and that ER visit.
Wow. So now this is, it's not just the injury, but Michelle, we were talking about, the injury is one thing, the pain is one thing, but there's an issue of independence. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it's real common for people to lose their independence. So suddenly where they were able to walk around their house and take care of things, now they're finding it more and more difficult to walk around. One problem is extended fear of falling. So even if you've managed to recoup all your skills, you're still afraid of that next fall. So now you walk a little more carefully, a little more gingerly. Your steps are a little bit more smaller. And you tend to lose your balance easier. So there's this big fear thing going on. So certainly that puts you at risk at home, too. It's about two-thirds of the people who fall are likely to fall again in the next 6 months. And that's that fear of falling. So if a person makes it through and does the rehab, gets it back home, then you really have to pay attention to fall prevention measures at your home, like, you know, looking at your lighting and your rugs and things like that.
Well, so is there any difference in the statistics between as far as what happens between men and women? Weren't we talking about that earlier, Doug?
Well, more women than men will experience broken bones from a fall. But there are more fatalities from a fall from men because we're up on the roof thinking we're 25 years old and cleaning the chimney.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's the activity that really does that. But for the injuries themselves, yeah, women tend to have more broken bones from a fall.
And so, you know, it's a function of aging, perhaps, and balance. But what are some of the other factors that can make a person more likely to fall down? Maybe Michelle?
So things in your home, certainly. We tend to, I think as we get older, too, sometimes we don't think about, we may have been really active and moving fast and getting things done. We're not really planning ahead enough, thinking ahead enough on our activities. So if you're walking fast and you're doing things quickly, then you're more likely to fall. And then all those little trip hazards in your house that you really never thought about. I mean, you had beautiful little decorations
and rugs, like
plants,
you mentioned before.
Rugs.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, those things can be hazards. I mean, even a coffee table can be a hazard if you're rushing, right? Because you can get up out of your chair too fast and you lose your balance and hit a coffee table. So those kind of things you really want to think about way ahead of having any fall issues. So start making your house safer. Start thinking about your lighting. Every time you do something new in your house, so you're going to redo any area of your house, think about the lighting and think about non-skid surfaces that you can incorporate at that time rather than waiting until you really have to have them. Start thinking about it ahead of time. There's just all sorts of things. How you what shoes you wear when you're around your house. Wearing shoes is important. Socks can be really slippery, especially on our hardwood floors and our tiles. Yeah, yeah. Those kind of things.
And so in general, lighting should be brighter?
Yes, most of the time. Right. And not be afraid of using those night lights in the bathroom. I mean, turn on the lights where you're going to be traveling. So it's really, a lot of falls will happen getting out of bed and going to the bathroom
in the dark. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of new bulbs out there, too, that that actually we've started putting some around our house that are kind of the full spectrum bulbs. You know, if you believe the advertising, they're supposed to last the rest of your life, but we'll see. Anyway, it's not as harsh, so it doesn't create as many shadows. And I think of places like my mother-in-law's house, where she has stairs going upstairs. The house is 150 years old.
Mm.
Well, the only bulb is way up at the top. And it's probably been there for who knows how many. It's probably a 40-watt bulb or something. Very dim. So, you know, thinking of ways of changing the lighting, even if you can get someone to, you know, get up there and change that bulb. But if you can't, think of a little lamp, you know, on the landing or something, some other lighting around there. Because we tend to just ignore it. Like you were talking about, Michelle, you're going into the house. Well, maybe one day you're going, has it always been this dark on these steps? You know, because you don't. If it goes out, you'll change it, but chances are you'll put another 40-watt bulb in there because you've always put a 40-watt bulb in there.
Right.
So it's those type of things to make sure the shadows are sort of out of the way, that the hallways, particularly hallways and stairways, those are the biggies for being really dark.
As we age, too, in those kind of houses you're talking about, we have so many around here that are all the bedrooms are on the top floor. And sometimes even the bathroom is on the top floor. But again, as you're thinking about going into your latter years, really you want to think about how can I live on one floor? What's possible? What can I do to arrange things so I can sleep downstairs, the bathroom's downstairs? If you can learn to be on one floor, you'll be a lot safer. So looking at options there, if you're going to remodel, think about that.
Mm. Yeah, and a lot of people will go to the day beds. You know, so that they, you know, during the day can, you know, be like a sitting area or something like that. And then at night, you know, they can move this piece of it and it's a single bed or something like that. Because a lot of people, if I don't want, you know, a bed in the middle of my house because, you know, it looks like I'm too old to get upstairs.
Sure.
And you want to say, well, you know, maybe you are. But yeah, so let's do it this way.
Make it look
that
way.
And then do gradual steps.
Sure. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about a little bit, too, was vision issues, especially with glasses like trifocals and bifocals. So can you talk a little bit about
that? Yeah, I knew you were going to wrap me up. it's interesting.
Well, a lot of us have those.
Yeah, a lot of it, you know, we get glasses and we keep them. And, of course, if you're on only Medicare and those type of things, you have, you know, not a lot of vision coverage and that type of thing. But what happens, and this did recently happen to me with my last prescription, actually, I have progressive lenses. But they're, you know, bifocal at the bottom. And apparently I needed a little stronger one this time. And I found that I was scraping my feet, just kind of walking down some slanted driveways because it looked like there was a curb there to step over. Or I would step over what didn't look like a curb and boom, okay, that was a curb.
Oh, yeah.
And until I got used to the bifocals, it was kind of crazy. And I think that a lot of times people will rely on their old glasses or I don't need glasses or whatever, but, you know, make sure your vision is adequate. You know, get to the eye doctor, get some new glasses and make sure that they're working for you. And another caution, I always tell our clients this, whether it's the eye doctor, the dentist, or their primary medical provider or whatever, ask questions. Be honest with them. Say, yeah, that thing you did for me didn't really work out for me. You know, we've got to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the vision is really tricky. And, of course, then you've got people that have glaucoma or macular degeneration. So there's really complicates things. But just make sure that things are clear, lights are bright, you've got good corrective lenses.
And I think, you know, another thing that Michelle was talking about was the whole idea of slowing down and just being maybe a little more mindful and deliberate about what you're doing, which is hard to do if you've been rushing around your whole life. But I think that, you know, when I watch my dad do things, he has to kind of slow down and think about what he's doing before he does it, you know.
I remember my grandmother used to say, why walk if you can run?
Yeah,
and
sure.
So that is, you know, been part of my life. Why walk if I can run? And so, but now, getting older, I need to start walking.
Walking is good.
It's a good
thing.
Walking
is a good thing.
So it really is a time that we can slow down and be more deliberate about what we're doing, and it'll help with the falls.
So another issue in falling sometimes is, and my dad has certainly encountered this, is dizziness. So can we talk a little bit about why would someone older be dizzy necessarily? I don't know.
Well, I think like we were talking about before, if anyone out there is taking prescription meds and you read the side effects, I would guess that 80% of them say may cause dizziness.
Yes, that's very true.
And, you know, if the majority of people get their pills from the doc and just don't read that or don't talk to the doc about it and they go about their way. But if you're taking several that may have that side effect, then it might compound it. So if there's no physical thing that's going on, there's no low blood sugars, there's no medicines that are out of whack, which is another thing you need to do, is to talk to your pharmacist or your doctor. If you've been taking the same meds forever, have them do a review, because part of it might be those meds are either too strong for you or not strong enough for you, and that may cause some dizziness and that type of impact. So that's another thing to look at. But it's also, there are things like just an inner ear thing, you know, that you can get up sometimes and be really dizzy. So, mm-hmm. you know, if there's nothing physically, a physical condition that's causing dizziness, then I would check the meds and then review those with the doctor and go from there.
What are some things that people can do to prevent themselves from falling? Michelle, can we talk about that?
Well, I'll share a fall that I had just recently, too. I was coming off of work, and I had a long skirt on and a pair of sandals. And the sandals had rubber on the bottom. And I stopped by Fred Meyer's on the way home, and I had the bag in my hand and was walking into the parking lot, and my foot hit my skirt with that rubber bottom.
Oh, gosh.
Found myself on the ground in the middle of Fred Meyer parking lot.
Oh, no.
So really, loose clothing is really an issue to think about, too. How are your clothes? Are they going to get in the way? Are they going to get stuck on something? I'll wear sweaters sometimes that'll grab a nail or something in the side of the wall and, you know, dang my sweater and stop me. And could easily cause a fall just having loose garments on. So, yes, you want to be comfortable, but you want to be safe. So
right.
Watching that would be an important thing.
But there's it's kind of some of it. I mean, we're talking about things like rugs and lighting and clothing and vision, but there's also a physical fitness aspect to this that people
yes.
can work on that and help themselves. Can you talk about
balance.
That?
Keeping your balance,
yeah. Yeah, balance.
You can recoup some of that you maybe even lost over time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I heard Doug say something about skidding your foot when you came down the... If you take too deep, you need to take deeper steps sometimes, especially if we've got some chronic pain going on or the fall history, like I talked about earlier, that you get these smaller steps and more shallow steps. And so you tend to do this skidding thing. And
that makes you less likely to be able to catch yourself
right.
if you trip.
And you're going to trip on things easier that you hadn't thought about tripping on because you got a shallower step. And so physical therapy is real helpful in helping you realize how you're walking and try to work out of those. And just mindfully think about stepping in a normal gait and practicing that again, because we forget, especially I think in the case of chronic pain where you've got a lot every day, you're just trying to avoid the pain so you don't work, you know, use your muscles as well. But we do have some things in the area to support that. So things like Tai Chi has been proven to be effective to prevent falls. We have a Matter of Balance class over at the Columbia Memorial Hospital. And we have a new program called Otago that is for our seniors, our folks that are more homebound, that can't get out to do things like Tai Chi and Matter of Balance. So usually those are people that like are mid-70s, 80s, that maybe have had a fall, and just can't get out to do the regular physical therapy workout or the classes.
Hmm.
So those kind of things are available, and you know, we want people to call our office for information on that, or the senior centers, the hospitals, they're the ones that are carrying these classes.
Okay, I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to A Senior Moment on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm here with Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging and Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. We come to you every month on A Senior Moment talking about issues relating to seniors, senior health. Today we're talking about fall prevention and how people can keep themselves safe as they get older, retain their independence in their homes, and just generally have a better time of it by not falling down and getting really hurt. So one of the things that I, as a caregiver to my dad, is that it just scares the heck out of me sometimes when I'm walking next to him because he's bigger than I am, even though he's elderly. And what do I do if he falls down? How, I mean, I can't hold him up really, but what can, how can I help? So how could a person who's in this caregiver role or with anyone who's elderly help them if they start to fall, if you're in the presence of somebody who falls down, what do you do? So,
well, there's a, you know, I experienced that when we were caregiving for my mother-in-law. And part of the things that happens, that like if they have a walker or something like that and they start to fall, I don't care how old you are, if you get scared enough, you've got a grip like iron.
Yeah, and, sure.
And you can't quite get your balance, but you don't want to let go of the only thing that's helping you stand up. And sometimes they just drop and you can't really do anything about it. One of the things, to especially the caregivers, to remember is, our first impulse as human beings are to rush in there and catch them so they don't hurt themselves. Well, we may end up really hurting ourselves and them at the same time. So if you can steady them as they fall instead of stopping, you know, trying to prevent the fall because I'm going to go in there and just hold them up even though they're three times my size, yeah, it's not going to happen. So, but if you can sort of guide the fall down so that it's a softer landing. Now, if it's at home, and they do get on the ground, you know, get a pillow or a blanket, make them comfortable so there's something soft if you have to call the EMTs while they're waiting there. But that's about the best that I would be able to recommend.
Okay. So what are some of the – so there's physical therapy. If someone wanted to get physical therapy, you really have to go through a doctor to get that, don't you, Michelle?
Right. You need a doctor to prescribe that for you. And usually it's a pretty easy conversation. I think people avoid it sometimes, but certainly talking to the doctor about your stability and your balance and your strength in your legs are important, and they may indeed send you to physical therapy for that.
So if somebody did that, you know, if we're talking about somebody maybe listening to the show and thinking, well, that sounds like a big rigmarole, is it really worth it? So what are the benefits then? What do they do in physical therapy for somebody in that kind of situation?
They're going to help you build your, you know, enhance your balance and build the strength in your legs and in your feet, help you with your stride so that you're safer when you walk. So anytime I think that you have any fear, that fear of falling builds on itself. If you're afraid of falling, I think if you're just afraid of falling, it's a good conversation to have with your doctor, period. And I think as we get older, we all should be a little afraid. So it's a good conversation. If you have any idea that there could be something physically going on with you that could cause a fall, it's important to have a conversation. We're also always glad to come over from our office and talk to people about safety measures in their house. And we have a lot of literature available that we could send out on fall prevention and how to look at your house to make sure it's safe. Once you've hooked up with, maybe you've had a fall and you've got home health coming over or occupational therapy or physical therapy, they're also going to do that kind of survey in your house to make sure that you're safe. You want to look at things like, do you need grab bars in the bathroom? Do you need to be using a walker and when you should be using a walker? Some people say, well, I only use this if I'm going to go on a long walk. Well, maybe you really need to use it in the house too. So that's the kind of things that they'll talk to you about.
So there might be some modifications. In addition to the getting rid of the throw rugs and looking at the lighting, there might mm-hmm. be modifications like handholds.
Well, certainly, and in the bathroom where the majority of injury falls occur.
Oh, yes.
Because
well, everything's
think
so
about
hard
it, there's
in
nothing
there.
Soft yeah, in right, the bathroom
right.
to land on.
Usually not.
Since you shared your experience, I'll share mine. A few years ago, I thinking I was still sprightly and whatever, hopped out of the shower, stepped onto a towel instead of a sticky mat, and feet went out from under me, landed on the edge of the shower, cracked a rib. And of course, as I mentioned before, I got back to work and all my compassionate coworkers had all this fall prevention stuff on my desk because we did outreach for that. But I think it's
who wants to read that stuff?
Exactly. That's for other people.
Right, right.
So one of the biggest things, too, that happens is people will throw like a towel on the floor or something for getting in and out of the bathtub. You really need those rubber-backed things that aren't going to scoot up from underneath you.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
And the grab bars, too, if it's getting more difficult to maybe you don't have a shower. You've just got that old clawfoot tub and you're going to have to, you know, figure that out. Well, there's bath benches. There's even transfer benches where you can get on it and slide over into the bathtub.
Yes, right, right.
And a handheld shower unit so you can do it that way.
Sure.
If you're showering, go ahead and put some grab bars in there. So you've got something to hold on to while you're showering. So you get all that soap and shampoo and everything in the shower and sometimes it gets a little slick. So those are all available.
Let me add, a towel bar is not a grab bar.
Yes, indeed.
So, oh, yes, that's right.
They snap right off.
They do.
Can, yeah. Well, you know, one of the issues, and we joke about this because, you know, I'm going to be 65 really soon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is that we are sort of, you know, nobody really wants to admit the O word, that you might be getting old or even older. But, you know, when you think about these things, there's so much at stake in this topic that we're talking about that if you need a little bit of help to keep you safe, just do it. Don't worry about it. Because as Michelle said earlier, independence is a big deal. We've done entire shows on this program about how to remain in your home as you age, because that's what people want to do. And once you have one of those serious falls, I mean, the broken hip thing, I mean, isn't that a big game changer?
Yes, yes, it is. It can be.
Yeah, and actually there's some pretty sad statistics about that too, and that I think it was a quarter of the people who have a hip fracture may not make it through 6 months.
Oh, and so, gosh. Because they get so immobile. So why is that?
Just a lot of side effects from it happening. That they live with secondary causes usually that happen.
Mm.
But yeah, it's not a good thing.
But I think, you know, in the context of, there's so many, you know, ramifications from that. But in the context of this topic, a really bad fall could make it so someone can't live in their home anymore, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't have support around, there's no one else in the home, that type of thing, and you don't have the mobility. I mean, we can have caregivers, either agency can have caregivers in there, and you can apply for different programs and that kind of thing. But without being in a facility, you're probably not going to get 24/7 care.
Right.
So, and then, of course, the less mobile you are, then the other issues start to come up, like ulcers and stuff from sitting too long in bed. So, yeah, there's a lot of ramifications. So best to get on the preventive end of it first and do it that way.
Well, I know one of those care centers. I mean, just to give people an idea of experience I've had with my dad, when he fell, it turned out he spent a week in the hospital in Portland, only to find out that it was medication-related, that he'd been over-medicated for high blood pressure. And it wasn't really a mistake. At one time, he had needed more blood pressure medicine, and it was like what you're saying, reevaluate your medication. And he ended up being over-medicated, and he passed out, and he ended up in a care center. And the care center was, I mean, they did their best, but it was basically a hospital room that he shared with another person, and it was a total frightening culture shock to be in that place because he had his whole house to himself, and all of a sudden he was like a roommate with somebody he didn't even know. And wow, he was lucky he went home.
Right.
But, you know, so I mean, a fall could put a person in that kind of situation.
Yeah, puts them in the hospital and then quite often to rehab for several months sometimes before they can go home. And then once they get home, yeah, it's not uncommon that I meet people, they've made it home, they've got through rehab, they really are fine, they've healed, but they're so afraid. And sometimes they won't even leave the house to go grocery shopping anymore.
Oh,
they start pulling in.
Yeah.
And so that's a form of losing your independence, too, if you can't go out and get your groceries and get your medications and go socialize. But that fear is still there. So that's really where the confidence building needs to happen. If you've had a fall, you need to get whatever suits you as far as therapy or classes, strength building, whatever it can take to get your confidence back.
Right.
So that you don't fall again.
That's a really big thing. And so just a little bit of a question about something that someone could do without a doctor's prescription, which is a Tai Chi class. So a lot of people maybe not even know what that is. What is that?
It's basically an exercise routine that improves your balance and strengthens you. You've probably seen pictures in the movies or someplace where people in the park are doing these exercises.
Kind of graceful movements.
Yeah, it looks like slow motion martial arts kind of.
Right, yes, I guess that's what it is.
And it's very helpful, and the senior centers sometimes offer those. Hospitals may offer Tai Chi classes. And that's really, it's low impact, and yoga is another one, low impact, but it strengthens you and improves your balance. Mm-hmm. And so those are always available. There are also different clinics. They may be called different things. They may be called fall awareness or get up and go clinics or that type of thing. And so if you start looking at the hospitals and you start calling the area agencies on aging, calling us and saying, you know, what's available? What's out there for these type of things so I can learn how to prevent falls. I don't want to talk so much about recovering until I have to, but how about preventing the falls in
the
first place?
That's the best thing. Well, we're sort of getting toward the last few minutes of the show. Why don't we talk a little bit about how to contact you? Because for people who are listening who may not be familiar with the show, Northwest Senior and Disability Services in Oregon and the Olympic Area Agency on Aging are tremendous resources. You can call them up. You can look on their website and find out all sorts of information about lots of topics. So if you don't remember anything else about this program, listen to the contact information that you're going to hear in just a minute, because these agencies can really help you with lots of things. So, Michelle, tell us about you.
Probably the easiest contact is just 503-861-4200 or www.nwsds.org.
Okay, and that's in Oregon. That's the Oregon piece. And then Washington, Doug.
Okay, in South Pacific County, the number is 360-642-3634. In North Pacific County, it's 360-942-2177. And our website is www.o3a.org.
Okay, and so is there anything else you want to say about fall prevention? Just anything, any final thoughts for people?
Well, we were talking earlier about how we don't know where our phone books are anymore because we Google everything. If you have access to that, you can do fall prevention, fall awareness, any of those. You can go to the National Council on Aging or our websites, and there's a ton of information and a lot of stuff that you can download and look at that's informational, guidance, suggestions, very good resources.
That's great. So that gives people a lot of opportunity to do a little research on their own before they start venturing into the doctor's office or the Tai Chi class or any of that. So, okay. Well, thank you both so much for being here. You've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm here with Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging and Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. Together, they cover Oregon and Washington and tremendous resources for people who are looking for information relating to seniors. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to A Senior Moment. We'll see you again next month.